Are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
All right, welcome, listeners. It is July 9th, 2026. I swear it is September 9th. What do you say, Matt?
I think I love this weather.
I think you lost your mind.
I've lost it. I'm losing it. I feel like I'm in the movie Twilight. Where the heck did the sun go?
Yeah, I know. We had it there for a little bit. Now it looks like the forecast is going to be rain for the next week or so.
You know what? I'd be fine with it if the sun was out and it was just this degree.
I think. Well, I noticed you're wearing like a hoodie and everything else today.
Well,
like,
I have
this is not
to.
July no. Fairbanks. Like, it's supposed to be in the 70s or something, at least at a minimum.
My office is extremely cold, so well, yeah. It works out, though.
Cindy and I just got back from Arizona where it was 112 degrees.
Gross.
Actually felt good. It felt like a blast furnace. I felt like a piece of pottery every time I walked out of something, but nonetheless.
So you felt like how Britons feel in their own homes. They can't have AC over there. All of Europe is just having a civil war currently over the fact that they don't have AC units and they're not allowed to have AC units.
Well, that's their problem.
That is their problem. It's, you know what their record high groundbreaking heat stroke is over there?
What's
it's like 92. These people are melting.
When it gets to 92 here, I go and crawl in our camper and turn the air conditioning on.
Yeah.
Up here in Fairbanks. I mean, there's ways to work around that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's on them.
Open a window.
Once again, welcome back to Shooter's Corner. You're here with Chuck and Matt in the studios here in Fairbanks where it is a balmy 58 degrees. At least that's what my car showed. But stay safe out there. Drive with your headlights on. It's like, I don't know, probably have fog tomorrow morning.
Or maybe, snowing.
I was just getting ready to say that, and I didn't want to use the S word, but yeah.
I'll use it. My luck is usually pretty bad, so it'll just snow over my house and around me. That's it.
Yeah, so what do you like? Isn't that like a Peanuts cartoon where the like rain cloud was right over the top of Snoopy on his doghouse or something like that?
Either that or like Eeyore. Every time he uses a set, he's just getting rained on. So yeah, it works
that,
out.
Maybe it was that one too.
Yeah.
Nonetheless. If you have any comments, please call 907-458-TALK. That is 458-8255. You can also live stream the show using your app on your Android or your iPhone. Yeah, that's right. It's at the store. Or if you're using your Starlink, you can always log in to kfarradio.com or just go to that website. Click on that big orange ball that says listen live. And remember, if you missed any of our shows, because they're entertaining, like our best show I think ever was like last week.
Absolutely.
Make sure you go to our archives. We even labeled it best show ever.
Yep.
so you
can find it off the rip.
Yeah, so you can find it. Or just Google Shooter's Corner, best show ever. Probably take you to that link. That's what we're hoping anyways. But nonetheless, yeah. Let's start the show. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Yeah, they missed that part. Anyways, the Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program is having their meeting tonight. That is correct. July 9th from 5:30 to 7 over at the TVSA range. That is at 1230 TVSA Way here in Fairbanks. It's across from Fred's West over on Airport Way. In case you don't have a Google Maps or something. Discussion will be preparing for your moose hunt, which is, according to the weather, right around the corner. But nonetheless, remember TVSA also has public shooting nights every Thursday from 6 to 8. Cost is $5 for members, $20 for non-members. It's a good range, good people under new management. And C4 Training Group will be offering their Carbine for Home Defense class this July 25th, 26th. Go to c4traininggroup.com. You can sign up for classes there. Go and subscribe to their calendar because they update it regularly with classes, and then it'll give you a notification. So, pretty easy. I was searching around for our topics for today in this week's in firearm history. So, we're going to go back in time just a little bit because July 6th, 1947, significant date. What was it? And you can't look. Can't look. I know you already did, but come up with something different other than what do you think it was?
I don't know. You know.
1947.
1947. I'm going to assume.
47 being the clue.
Just off the 47. I'm going to say that's when the MP5 was created.
No. That's a hard no. No, on this date, The AK-47 officially went into production in the Soviet Union, designed by Mikhail Kalashnikov. The AK-47 would become the most produced and widely distributed firearm in history. Like, I think every country that I've ever been in had either an AK-47 or a derivative thereof from, right?
Yep.
Like,
I've seen them when I want to see them. I've seen them against my will. So, yeah, you see them everywhere. Yeah. It does not matter.
I've seen the muzzle end of it.
Yep, yep.
I've seen down the barrel end of it. I've disassembled them.
I've seen
I've
a
shot
jam.
Them. I haven't seen too many jam. Well, yeah, because they don't know what lubrication is.
No.
But nonetheless, in some parts of the world. Anyways, some of the key features of the AK-47 was chambered in the intermediate 7.62 by 39 millimeter cartridge. We'll talk a little bit more about that and where they got that from. The gas-operated long-stroke piston system with a rotating bolt, which was different than the one that they mimicked before, which was a fixed bolt. So we'll talk about what Mikhail had taken the rotating bolt from. It was an extremely simple and robust design with large clearances that make it highly tolerant to dirt, sand, mud, and poor maintenance. Poor maintenance being the key. Because any third world, like, renegade, like, jingly, squirter, whatever you want to call them, like, can pick that thing up, shoot it, and then, like, not even do any maintenance on it. Like, nope. It's insane how the tolerances are on them things, but nonetheless. It was a stamped steel receiver in the later variants because it was cheap to manufacture and multiple countries could mass produce them. Selective fire capability was either semi-automatic or fully automatic. The AK-47's reliability in harsh conditions, ease of manufacture, and low cost made it the weapon of choice for armies, insurgent groups, and revolutionaries worldwide. Estimates suggest over 100 million have been produced since 1947. That's not just out of the Soviet Union. That's all the other countries that are, like, stamping these things in backyard mills, right? Its influence on modern assault rifle design is unmatched. Nearly every subsequent intermediate cartridge rifle owes some conceptual debt to Kalashnikov's work. He was developing this simultaneously or at the same time as maybe Stoner was starting to work on stuff too. Wasn't there a documentary where Stoner and him both met?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Met and shook hands. Got to fire each other's weapons. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to pull that up again. I think I actually have that video. It's on YouTube as well, if I remember correctly. Anywho, the AK-47 did not make any difference in World War II. That's kind of the key thing. So they had taken the lessons that the Soviet Union had taken the lessons that they had learned during World War II. They weren't able to get this thing into production before it ended. That's okay. Because World War II in Europe ended in May 8th of 1945, Pacific Theater ended in September 2nd of 1945, Mikhail Kalashnikov actually began his serious design work on what became the AK-47 late 1945. Did you ever watch that movie?
Yeah, I think it's called Kalashnikov, the Russian
it's
dubbed one.
Pretty cool how they stuck him in a little office and stuff, and even like some general was out there shooting it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, too. I know that they tried to keep it as realistic as they could with the designs, but those earlier designs and what the parts look like and, you know, pre-concept to what it is now, it's very interesting to see that the changes they made weren't a lot. But
not from his original design.
No, yeah.
Which is kind of what was interesting is if it was true to the story, the Soviet Army procurement process was much like ours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where somebody loved something else and, like, was trying to push that crap through when there was an operational, functional system already in place and
someone's
it required some four-star to step up and be like, yeah, we're going to do that instead. Yeah, not surprised. But early prototypes appeared in 1946, 1947, and then the rifle was officially adopted by the Soviet Army in 1949, with full-scale production ramping up in the early 1950s. The AK-47 was a direct response to lessons learned during World War II, as I alluded to earlier, particularly the German STG-44, the world's first true assault rifle. Now, actually, the world's first true assault rifle was a lever action.
Yeah.
American made. Don't care.
Amen.
Yeah. And the Soviet experience fighting German forces armed with submachine guns and automatic weapons, but it arrived too late to influence the outcome of the war itself. So what was the AK-47's global impact? Well, while it missed World War II, The AK-47 became one of the most consequential firearms in human history. Its impact has been profound across military, political, cultural, and humanitarian dimensions. So part of its military and tactical impact is the AK-47 and its simplified successor, the AKM, gave ordinary soldiers and irregular fighters a reliable, simple, fully automatic weapon chambered in an intermediate cartridge. Key advantages were extremely tolerant of dirt, mud, sand, poor maintenance, as we said before, cheap and easy to mass produce, effective typical combat ranges from 300 to 400 meters. That combination made it ideal for regular armies of developing nations, guerrilla and insurgent groups. I think the entire continent of Africa has the AK-47.
Yeah.
Like literally, and I think I have this in my notes here too, it was interesting that there are some nations' flags that have the AK-47 on it.
There's quite a few. I mean, it's a staple in everything that, you know, isn't American.
Like, you know how we grew up as American kids, maybe got like a Red Ryder BB gun?
Yep. They got an AK.
I think some kids got AKs. Anyways, we got to go into our first break. And when we return, we're going to continue on this firearms history about the AK-47, where it came from, its origins. But stay tuned. Here at Shooter's Corner, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. We'll be right back after this break.
Join Dr. Looper from the Alaska Center for Natural Medicine every Saturday at noon for Health Talk. Listen in live or online at KFAR660.com. Dr. Looper and special guests will talk about a wide range of topics, provide beneficial health tips, and helpful health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen every Saturday starting at noon. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by the Alaska Center for Natural Medicine. Go to AlaskaCenterForNaturalMedicine.com.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. This is Lori Prox in Valdez with a fishing update. Halibut fishing has been steady and the salmon are coming soon. Valdez Fisheries Development Association reported last Friday that test fishing in the Narrows yielded sets of 6 to 12 pink salmon. The 2026 Valdez Kids Pink Salmon Derby is slated for Saturday, July 25th. That derby's open to kids age 5 to 16. It's free. Kids qualify for prizes by picking up a free Valdez Fish Derby's hat at the weigh-in station early morning Saturday, posting a picture of themselves with the hat and a pink salmon, and winners will be chosen at random to win cash prizes and fishing poles. The Kids Derby is sponsored by Valdez Fish Derbies. There is no entry fee. Pink salmon fishing is generally productive at Allison Point and along the shorelines, as well as from a boat. Pixies, spinners, and vibrax are all good options. The Silver Salmon Derby will start the same day as the Valdez Kids Pink Salmon Derby, Saturday, July 25th, and boasts a grand prize of $10,000 cash for the largest fish caught. The Valdez Women's Silver Salmon Derby is slated for Saturday, August 8th, with a Tatas, Tutus, and Extra Tough theme. They'll feature a breast cancer awareness walk and art scramble the Friday night before. The current Valdez Halibut Derby leader is Shane Miller of Fairbanks with a 184.6-pound halibut.
If you're looking to catch a big halibut, silver salmon, or rockfish in Valdez, get geared up at the Prospector in Valdez. Need boots or rain gear? Prospector's got it. Our Valdez store has rods, reels, tackle, bait, and even coolers to bring your catch home too. Talk to our local experts and get the right gear for Prince William Sound. The Prospector's open late all summer.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
It's that time of year again. The sun is out, roads are clear, and gravel is everywhere. At Auto Trim Design, we have you covered. With our self-healing paint protection film, keeping your paint looking showroom new and defending from rock chips and scratches, helping your car stay flawless for years. With our ceramic window tint, not only will it have a stylish look, it also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, blocks heat, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by or give us a call to get your vehicle ready for summer in Alaska.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated. Keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
KFAR weather. slight chance for isolated rain showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 70. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 53. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck Ender at Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks, Alaska, where it's still a balmy 58 degrees. It's
yes,
like
sir.
A nice, beautiful September day. but what we were talking about before we went on the break was the AK-47 went into production on July 6th. So this is our week in firearms history, if you will. And we were talking about the AK-47's global impact and how it had profound impact across military, political, cultural, and humanitarian dimensions. And some of the things that was key and significant about the AK was it was cheap, easy to mass produce, extremely tolerant of dirt, sand, mud, whatever, you know, combat conditions, right? And nobody needed to really maintain it.
Yep.
I think the other thing is, Matt, is there's such a proliferation of them. Like, there's so many of them. Like, if one just breaks, you just pick up another one.
Yeah, you can pick up another one or the parts from another blown-up one. Yeah. Half of them are going to work anyway.
12 Strong. Watch that movie on the airplane.
Oh, I love 12 Strong.
Anyways, like, the Afghanis. I mean, that was early Afghan-type thing, war. But nonetheless, that ODA 595 or whatever mm-hmm. it was that went in there. The group of Afghanis were just running around picking up other, you know, one ran out, they just ran and picked up another one. I was like, that's pretty normal. But nonetheless, the AK-47 was used as well extensively in Vietnam, the Soviet-Afghan War, countless African conflicts. Well, which we said before, like most kids over there probably got an AK-47 for their first Christmas.
Yep. Here's your fifth birthday. Here's an AK.
Yeah. Whereas I got like a Red Ryder BB gun and they get an AK. I mean, what was wrong with our country?
No.
In many of these, I should have at least got a Nimwan Garand. In many of these wars, the AK-47's reliability gave lightly trained and poorly supplied fighters a decisive edge against more sophisticated but maintenance-heavy Western weapons. And that's very true. Think of like the M60 machine gun. You ever shot an M60 machine gun?
Once.
Yeah. So they required a butt ton of cleaning maintenance mm-hmm. and also lubrication.
Yep.
Right. Like, I remember just pouring 1540 on them things, much like the 50 cal. But nonetheless, geopolitical and revolutionary impact, the AK-47 became a powerful symbol of anti-colonialism. I hate that word now. Revolution and resistance to Western powers. It armed communist and socialist movements worldwide, national liberation movements in Africa and Asia, and later various insurgent and terrorist groups. Of course, it was cheap, and it was everywhere. After the collapse of the Soviet Union, millions of surplus AKs flooded black markets, arming conflicts from the Balkans and the Middle East to Latin America. Yes, because it was everywhere. As a matter of fact, when the collapse of the Soviet Union came around, I mean, what, you get maybe, what, T-64? For a couple bottles of vodka.
Yeah, traded in for a Volkswagen Bug.
Yeah. Like some Soviet general would be like, oh, yes, give me like four bottles. And you may have tank. Like, thank you. I'm
fully
on my
armed
way.
Too. It's fine.
Fully armed. Yes. Can I get some more AP rounds for you? Anyways, we've already talked about, so there were so many of these things produced since 1949. Roughly one in every 60 to 70 people on Earth at times could have.
Jeez.
Where's mine?
Where's mine?
It has been manufactured in dozens of countries, often without license. Yeah, who are they going to pay? And remains in service with over 50 armies today. Well, that was pretty well. We also talked about how it had a significant impact culturally because the distinctive silhouette of the AK-47 appears on national flags, such as Mozambique. Also in music, films, art. Yeah, of course. And it has become an enduring global icon, sometimes representing liberation. Sometimes. Oppression or chaos. However, because of its weapon simplicity and durability and low cost, has contributed to a massive amount of conflicts and arming of child soldiers. Well, we just talked. Are they really a soldier if they got it for Christmas?
Yeah, it's volunteers, Boy Scouts.
Yeah, they're just armed Boy Scouts.
Commie Scouts.
Militias and criminal organizations. Yes, because criminal organizations need those too. And I'm joking. It remains one of the primary small arms responsible for deaths in ongoing conflicts worldwide. What were you saying about the FN?
Oh, saying like it's interesting to see the dynamic of how for the longest time, like the FNFAL, which if you don't know what that is, it's a very
Fabric National.
It's a good musket for the modern man, I would say, outside of the M16. But there was a transitional period between the 60s and 80s where the FAL was really like the free arm of all these nations that were rebelling against their own and doing all this stuff. And then you see it phase out into the AK-47 because they were able to get their hands on it. Then the Soviet Union falls. Then they're everywhere. And then now the FAL is seen as like a very poor thing. Either it's a collector's item or a very poor thing that it's some troop in some country gets handed that he just hates because he'd rather have the AK that's cooler, nicer, and lighter versus the FAL.
It was a heavy gun.
Oh, the FAL's, yeah, it's
like a crew serve.
Yeah, you're getting really close there. If there was a belt on that, it'd be, you know, it'd be where it needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Mikhail Kalashnikov had some different gun systems that they were actually able to get a hold of and may have given him not necessarily the flash of genius, but maybe some conceptual ideas or something like that, yeah. Right? Like, he didn't steal everything. Like, it wasn't like them creating the Frogfoot SU-25 off the A-10.
Yep.
Or how the Chinese steal all of our intellectual property
off
and
everything.
all of our weapon designs and everything. But nonetheless, I think the STG-44, which was one of the main assault rifles that the Germans had that the Soviets went up against, I think it's interesting that if you pull up a picture of the STG-44 and put it next to the AK-47, they're very similar.
It looks like a pre-Apple update. Yeah, I mean, it is almost spot on, which is, I think the big reason why they copied the design or took a lot of flavors from the SG-44 was the magazine, how its magazine operation was, because you had the MP40 that they could have used, but I think it was the curvature of the mag to allow the rounds to actually feed a little better. That's where I feel like that design comes from. They started with that, and then they tried to work through other parts, and it kind of went from there.
Well, you know, even the M4, the 30-round mags ended up having to have a slight curvature to them as well. So, yep. I mean, yeah, I think it worked out kind of good. But to get into that, though, just know that the SG-44, the Sturmgewehr, or the Assault Rifle 44, the first modern assault rifle, did see significant combat use in mass production. It was developed by Germany during World War II, fundamentally changed infantry small arms design. I thought it was interesting that the STG-44 actually used a 7.62x33, which also was another intermediate round, shorter and less powerful than the full-power 7.92x57 Mauser. However, it gave him enough range at the 300-meter range engagements and then had manageable recoil for automatic. It used a gas operated with a tilting bolt, which Kalashnikov did not use.
No.
What was interesting, though, is he wanted to use the rotating bolt that came from the M1 Garand. Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Influence. So the STG-44 did have a significant conceptual influence on the development of the AK-47, although it was not a direct copy. And I think that's because the Red Army captured tens of thousands of the STG-44s. And so those weapons became available to the Soviet designers, including Mikhail Kalashnikov's team. There are some design similarities, obviously, that long stroke gas piston, the overall layout, the pistol grip, the detachable 30-round magazine, stamped steel construction in later versions, the gas tube above the barrel, and then the general ergonomics, and form follows functions appearances. So if you Google those two, and pull up pictures side by side, you'll see. So, but the summary of influence essentially was the intermediate cartridge concept. It validated the idea. The Soviets copied the philosophy. The gas-operated select fire layout provided a working example of the concept. So that was a high degree of influence. As the intermediate cartridge was a very high influence. The stamped steel construction influenced mass production techniques. That was a moderate to high influence. The tilting bolt mechanism was not copied. It was zero influence. The overall external experience, similar due to functional requirements, was a moderate influence. So the STG did not give birth to the AK-47 through direct copying. However, it was the weapon that proved the assault rifle was the future of infantry weapons. I think that's kind of the key takeaway of what we want to say about the July 6th birth of the manufacturing of the AK-47. The Soviets took that proven concept, combined it with the lessons from the M1 Garand and their own design traditions, and created the AK-47, a simpler, more rugged, and far more producible rifle that became the most successful firearm in history. The STG-44 was the father of the concept. The AK-47 was its most successful child. That's a good little quote there.
Yeah, I like that.
The father of the concept, and the AK-47 was its most successful child.
Folks, I mean, you got to start using that to describe
it. It wasn't
your
the redheaded stepchild.
No.
It was the good kid.
Yeah, it's like the youngest child that is really successful. And then you look at the oldest one, and he's a bum on the couch. You're like, all right, Jesus.
Still living in mommy's basement doing whippets.
Where's my AK-47, son, huh?
Yeah. So that takes us into our mandatory break for local and national news. And as always, if you ever have any questions, feel free to call in 458-TALK, 907-458-TALK. We'll be right back after this break, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. You're here with Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereed, and we'll be right back after this break.
From the Satellite West Studio, satellite-based voice communications. You're listening to KFAR Radio, 97.5.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. The United States launching another series of strikes against Iran last night after Iranian forces attacked commercial shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. Republican New York Congressman Mike Lawler on Fox Business says he wouldn't be opposed to taking further action against Iran. Right.
Fundamentally, from my vantage point, keeping the pressure on them both militarily and economically is what is going to ultimately force resolution here and ensure that they are no longer a threat.
Former Olympic canoeist David Hearn pleading not guilty to charges that he vandalized the Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Pool. Executive chair of the Democracy Defenders Fund, Norman Eisen, serving as Hearn's co-counsel.
If Mr. Hearn can be charged with a felony for touching the reflecting pool, every American is at risk.
America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports officials at Eielson Air Force Base continue to prepare for their free summer air show, during which members of the community are invited to come on base to get a firsthand look at the technology and equipment being used by the Air Force. This year's show, scheduled for August 1st and 2nd, will feature airborne acts including F-35s, F-16s, Warbirds, KC-135s, and HH-60s. On the ground, various aircraft will be on display for participants to tour and learn more from Air Force and Department of Defense personnel. There will also be displays concerning the technological aspects of the Air Force, as well as booths which talk about the missions of different units that are housed on base. Lieutenant Colonel Lloyd Wright, who serves as director for the air show, said preparations began a year ago. He also added that security represents a major portion of the planning process, involving going through an incredibly in-depth plan for traffic management and the security of the show itself, not to mention just the flying portions.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
There's fishing, and then there's dip netting. Frontier Outfitters knows you need to maximize your catch and that you're working against the clock. So they make it real easy for you to get what you need fast. Whether you're on a boat or shore, from permits to dip nets, they carry fighting handles, D-handles, and more. So your tired, numb hands can hold on when that big king tries to yank your gear into the river. Plus those poles and the extensions for those deep holes and replacement nets as well. Your next outdoor adventure starts at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Hey Fairbanks, Bryant from Auto Trim Design. Now's the perfect time to get your work truck set up right. From toppers, back racks, beacons, running board seat covers, floor liners, bed slides, ladder racks, and so much more. Auto Trim Design has everything you need to tackle any job. Our commercial toppers keep your equipment and tools secure and out of the elements. Need to keep your bed organized? Add a deck drawer system to easily access all your gear. Contact Auto Trim Design for your professional truck grade accessories today.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Matt here in the studios of Fairbanks with our show, Shooter's Corner. And anyways, we just got done talking about This Week in Firearms History. We literally took up two segments just talking about the AK-47.
It's a good segment.
Yeah, well, no, it was. Yeah, it was. Because the AK is a significant development in the firearms industry, or world, I should say. And it started its production on July 6th. So although a little bit late, I get it. It is July 9th. But nonetheless, it's this week. Anywho. Also, I just wanted my editorial. I just wanted to close out the 250th celebration of our country. And I know that over the past couple shows, we've been talking about Independence Day and Lexington and Concord and all of the things that kind of led up to our country achieving their liberty from Great Britain. But nonetheless, I want to close out this week with this editorial. So, 250 years of armed liberty, the enduring American spirit. This past weekend, our nation marked the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. 2.5 centuries ago, brave men and women committed themselves to the proposition that free people, capable of self-defense and self-governance, could build a republic unlike any the world had seen. Today, we reflect not only on that founding moment, but on the enduring character that has sustained this experiment in liberty through every challenge. The right to keep and bear arms was never peripheral to the American founding. It stood as both a practical necessity for frontier life and a deliberate check against tyranny. The founders understood that an armed citizenry serves as the ultimate guardian of freedom. From the Minutemen at Lexington and Concord to the veterans who return from foreign battlefields to secure their communities at home, the American spirit has always been defined by readiness and resolve. That spirit remains undiminished. Regardless of who occupies the White House or how many misguided voices fill the halls of Congress, and there's a lot, the American people possess a fundamental strength that no temporary political majority can erase. We have weathered wars, economic trials, social upheavals, and repeated attempts to erode our constitutional rights. Through it all, the readiness of law-abiding citizens, trained, equipped, and committed to the defense of their families and communities, has proven to be our most reliable safeguard. This is not mere rhetoric. It is an observable fact. History shows that free societies endure when their people retain both the means and the moral conviction to protect themselves. The American spirit is not fragile. It is forged in responsibility, tempered by discipline, and sustained by vigilance. It manifests itself today in a growing number of citizens who seek professional firearms training, who study the Constitution, and who refuse to delegate their personal safety entirely to distant authorities. As C4 Training Group, we see this resolve every day. Veterans, working professionals, families, new gun owners alike demonstrate a quiet determination to achieve competence and confidence in their ability to protect what matters most. This is the most living continuation of the American tradition, not waiting for permission or rescue, but standing prepared. As we move forward from this historic milestone, let us recommit ourselves to that founding spirit. Maintain your skills, support ethical training, engage in your communities. Teach the next generation that liberty requires both vigilance and virtue. Political winds will shift, policies will come and go, but the character of the American people, rooted in self-reliance and constitutional fidelity, will prevail. We will survive. More than that, we will preserve the republic our ancestors entrusted to us. This is Chuck Enderreden for Shooter's Corner. Stay vigilant, stay prepared, stay free. Oh, man, what a week, 250th. You know, it was kind of cool, actually, being down in Arizona for 4th of July and watching fireworks and not freezing.
Yeah.
Like, it's dark and watching without freezing. Because about the only time you ever get fireworks up here is on New Year's.
Yeah.
When it's 20 below or less.
I think the first win you had there was dark, right? Because up here, the sun hates us. I don't know what Alaska did to Mother Earth years ago, but...
It rotated north.
Darn it. And the other thing is, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's nice, but just being able to be in a country where we can celebrate things like that, right? I saw a very cool video of the 250th in DC, and it's a B-1 full afterburner going right over the Washington Monument, flying right before they started the fireworks. And I mean, what a sight. And there were people, what I love is, and again, with this great country and our freedom of speech, I love the fact that people are to say, oh, this is wasting funding, taxpayer dollars, blah, blah, blah. One, you don't realize that they have to get flight hours anyway. So they're going to fly regardless, whatever's going to happen.
You're looking at me like, yeah. I got to say this. I would much rather see my money wasted on that than on a Learing Center in Minnesota.
Yes. Oh, my God. Show me when Putin showed up here and then, you know, got to hand it to Trump. Again, part of being an American is loving your country, but being very judgmental of its political culture. And that's, yeah. You know, every freedom-loving American should view that. But him being there and then having a plethora of fighter jets and bombers fly right over Putin's head. And I just want to be...
Oh, when they met down in like Alaska or whatever?
Yeah. I would have loved to have been there and just hear what I imagine Trump is like, you keep it up, those are going over you. Like, I would love to hear that. But the fact that we can do that, the fact that we can enjoy these freedoms, the fact that while the World Cup has been going on and all this soccer, you know, stuff has been going on, which we don't care about. But
easy,
all these,
easy.
Well, all these Europeans coming, or pretty much the whole world traveling to the U.S. and all of them saying, it's a great experience. Americans are better than we thought. Like every single ideal that they had written in their head, and they came over here with that negativity and they realized they were wrong, that there is freedom here. All of them were saying,
yeah, we have Buc-ee's and ranch dressing.
Oh, I've been watching videos of like Brits trying American food. And they're like, where's the seasoning? I don't want to move back. You know, I want to stay here, but it's amazing that we can, you know, cause we're so judgmental of our country, which we absolutely should be. But on July 4th, I really made it my priority to realize and focus on the positivities that we do have. Focus on the good that's come from, you know, we haven't been around that long. And if you look at what Britain was just a few hundred years ago, they were dominating the world. And now when you look at us versus them, you know, we will stomp out anyone that we can, but we don't have to. Just our name alone is a threat to these countries that want to stand up. And our name alone is a saving grace for these countries that need help. And sitting there listening to all these people talk about how great it is and how amazing this place is, it really makes you take it in for a second that, like, maybe things aren't as bad as they could be. Stuff still sucks, don't get me wrong, but trying to stay in a positive mindset of, like, damn, being born in the United States is like playing a video game on easy mode. Like, you really could be way worse.
I do have to say, though, we have to be careful because we could be killing ourselves from within.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Having served in the military and stuff like that and having been in other countries, it just baffles me how somebody who's never done anything other than, like, I don't know, get a degree in philosophy and mounds of debt and then do nothing with their life can sit here and bash our country about everything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to say it out loud. I'll wear it on my freaking sleeve. Mm-hmm. Like, how dare you bash this country when you've never been outside and seen, like, what's going on in other world, in other parts of the world? Like, yeah. And even if you have been in other parts of the world and stuff like that, like, you tell me what part you've been in, and then we'll have a discussion about what parts of that are better or worse.
Yeah.
Right. Because, like, I get it. Okay. So go to Norway, go to Finland, go to Sweden. Yeah. Do they have better quality of life? Yeah, probably. Maybe they're healthier too. They're also cold.
Yeah. They're also cold. You're also stuck next to a lot of adversaries that want to kill everyone at all times.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for, like, NATO, you guys probably wouldn't have, you'd be speaking Russian.
Or some form of German.
Still.
Depending, yeah, what's going on.
But nonetheless, yeah. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But I watched, it was like a 36-minute, like, fireworks show on Washington, D.C., too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it was like some Navy people were singing, the Army, the Air Force.
Well, you know,
like,
Trump, it's going to be the biggest fireworks show ever. It's going to be the greatest. And you're like, all right, sure thing. And you watch it. It's like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
He knows how to put on a show. I will say that.
Yeah, well, yeah. That one thing he can do.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, though, I just wish sometimes he would just, like, shut up.
Yeah.
Stop saying stupid stuff. Dial it back. Dial it back. Yeah. Like, don't say stupid stuff.
You don't have to speak.
You know, I was watching just to get off real quick. I was watching a thing on Diary of a CEO, and I was mentioning that to you mm-hmm. earlier, and it was like there was this guy on there that literally said, remember when Trump had made a comment like, we're going to just like erase your civilization?
Yeah.
He literally galvanized that country by saying that. Mm-hmm. Imagine this. So put this in the context of the United States. We were attacked on one day, and it galvanized our country
yep.
on 9/11. Imagine what would happen to our country and how galvanized we would be if it was 40 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make a comment like that.
Yeah.
Like, dude, just let Marco run the show. That's what the State Department does. You just sit over there, eat your cheeseburger, and shut the F up.
Yeah, sponsored by McDonald's. Yeah.
Just shut up, dude. Like, stop tweeting, twexting, whatever, twerking.
Yeah, twerking. Jeez. I did not want to see the president do that.
All right, we got to go into our last break.
Yes, we do.
When we come back, we'll be here with Chuck and Matt at Shooter's Corner, just riling everybody up in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about flock cameras in Fairbanks.
USA. USA.
But nonetheless, we'll be right back after this break.
Summer in Alaska is calling. Is your ride ready? From camping trips and fishing weekends to road trips, ATVs, boats, and side-by-sides, summer fun starts with a vehicle that works and plays as hard as you do. At Auto Trim Design in Fairbanks, they help you gear up with accessories and upgrades that make every adventure better. From truck accessories and window tint to remote starters, audio, and more. This summer, take the scenic route, hit the trails, and enjoy every mile, knowing your ride was customized by Auto Trim Design.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too. Family owned and operated, keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with a slight chance for isolated rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 70. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lulls of aloft around 53. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 77. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're with Chuck Intereen here at Shooter's Corner in Fairbanks, Alaska. And wow, what a show so far. I mean, we spent the first half hour talking about the AK-47, which was essentially born. I mean, it wasn't born, but it started manufacture on July 6th of 1947. That's the reason why it's called the AK-47. I don't know.
Yep.
Could have been called the 46 if they'd started production earlier.
When a mommy STG-44 and a daddy MP-40 love each other very much, the AK-47 is born.
Which was the better child?
Yeah, give it the birds and the bullets talk.
Was there another SIG uncommanded discharge in the news?
Oh, was there? It's getting to the point. Come on, SIG. It's been a year that we've been talking about this. You got to listen. Pay attention. Get this thing fixed. God, was there? I wouldn't be surprised.
I thought that one of our partners in crime had mentioned that there was just a recent one. So no major news. No, maybe not.
Maybe it's been so long since one happened. Now we're just assuming it has happened on a repeated schedule.
Yeah, there's nothing new since July 9th, 2026. But I thought Craig had mentioned something about one that had just gone off when we were at that last class with active self-protection.
You're right. I do.
He didn't mention something about that. But that's all good. But they're not grabbing any new headlines. All right. So what's new? In the gun world.
In the gun world. Well,
you know what? Montana needs to give us a call and tell us when he's doing his thing next with his book signings and stuff like that over at the
Montana, if you're listening, call in Barnes & Noble.
You got to let us know over at Barnes & Noble what's going on. Because that'd be pretty freaking cool.
I guess new in the gun world, I think the biggest thing was, who could have guessed it? The Army doesn't learn its lessons, that we switched from the Army's switching from the XM7 to the XM8 carbine. So the carbine model of the XM7, shorter, a little lighter. able to do a lot more. They fixed it, but that's like, I think one of the bigger things that's happened recently.
But that was a sick system too, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still has, it's going to have the same problems. It's going to do the same stupid stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I would say there are some ATF things that have actually changed. It's been pretty cool. One of which, I watched a video on it this morning. This guy has been waiting on a Form 1 to get approved for a month or two now. And he just said, screw it. I'm just going to, because the FBI or the ATF director has been tweeting, let me just tweet him. And this guy messaged the ATF director over Twitter or X and said, hey, can you look into this? It's been, you know, XYZ, all my friends have gotten approved. Next day it was approved. So this ATF director seems to be doing something in the works or having something. I mean, I don't like the ATF, but things have been changing like that where shortly it looks like we're going to be able to have firearms mailed directly to the door. Going through an FFL as kind of like a subsidiary or that middleman for approvals and doing all of that good stuff before it actually gets to you. The same way we've been doing suppressors, just with all firearms, the ATF changed that.
We're literally reinventing the wheel. Like, I remember back, well, I don't remember. I remember there was a time when you could order off a Sears catalog or Montgomery Ward catalog and a firearm would be shipped to your house.
We're going right back to that. Yeah, you can order offline. It'll hit an FFL in your state, and then from there it gets sent to you. So there's going
to
be...
So it will still have to have a middleman.
It'll still, but you won't have to interact with the middleman. You'll pay an FFL transfer fee that'll be in the purchasing process of the firearm. So all of your stuff's going to get run. It's going to get e-verified and all that good stuff. You don't actually have to go in outside of, I guess, walking outside to your front door and grabbing your gun and then going and dry firing in your mom's basement. I think that's the most physicality thing you'll have to do.
And how much am I giving up to be able to do that?
I imagine.
How much of my personal freedoms am I having to give up?
I mean, personal freedoms, not more than what we already have. I can't imagine they're.
We've already given.
The moment you gave something up, you're done anyway. I know there was that. There was, they finally had made the change for 4473s will disappear after 20 to 30 years now. It's not going to be a permanent thing. There's a few different changes. I'm trying to pull them up. I usually save them, and I got so blindsided with 4th of July deals that's all my phone's full of right now. But yeah, I'm trying to look here. Let's see. You know, I'm stupid. I could just go on the ATF Facebook page because they've actually been very adamant about posting updates as to their changes. So let's see. What is the newest one if we want to load?
And the reason why I say that is because about the whole freedom thing. What was interesting, though, what's going on in the lower 48 and coming soon to a theater near you in Alaska is that Flock camera thing.
Yeah.
Like, it is a private company that is literally giving the information to law enforcement.
Yeah.
Kind of like circumventing, I think, in some
departments sued and officers arrested for using it illegally to obtain information against possible or potential suspects.
Yeah. But sometimes they're using them for like looking up chicks that go driving by and stuff like that too. But
yeah.
So wasn't it somebody that posted recently about there being a possible Flock camera over there on Geist Road near the Parks Highway?
Let me pull that up right now.
Look, here's kind of the deal with those. Like, eventually they're going to get a pattern in life on everybody.
If they haven't already. I mean, your phone.
Well, I mean, they already got that with Facebook, your phone, your Chinese tracking device that you carry around with you everywhere.
Now they can be just more open about it.
Now they can, exactly. But it was amazing to me, like, the entire state of Florida is covered by Flock. There's a lot of states, like Texas, that have Flock cameras.
They're getting ate up by Flock cameras. Let's see. Oh, here, I found it. Newly installed Flock ALPR surveillance camera was installed on the northern side of Geist Parks Highway intersection. It was installed on July 5th, right over Fantastic Realms, Lemongrass, Justice Store, etc., right where they have been doing construction for the past month. This is considered the second Flock camera installed, with the first one that was reported in Juneau, but we can't really confirm the source on that. But yes, there is one actively here.
In all fairness, though, that was off of like a Farcebook post.
Yes.
Like, which is reliable news if anybody hasn't figured that out.
Yeah. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, well, more than not, it's not. But yeah. But that's, I mean, they're building patterns of life. I mean, your phone is doing it all the time, but the fact that Flock is a third party, they're not really being held by any organization to a standard. It's all out of country stuff. That's why law enforcement agencies get sued, not necessarily the Flock itself, because it's not being used in a manner that they sold it for. So they can't be held liable. But it's a dangerous, dangerous game that they are playing with these things. It's very, you've turned into a worse version of Big Brother, but you're so open about it, you don't care.
Yeah, if you Google like, what is it, like deflock.org or something like that, there was a couple sites that are out there. It literally, and these aren't just not license plate readers, like they are literally getting data and details about your vehicle. Like on that one website, it literally shows like Raider sticker in the back window, car, you know, bike carrier on the back bumper. Like it's also getting other details about the car as well, which are searchable details.
Yes.
Right? So it's not like, oh, just pull up this license plate and tell me every camera that it has gone past. It can do that as well.
Well, not only that, but it also
Think about this. Oh, let me just throw this out there. Think about this. If I have a series of those cameras on Interstate 10, right? And I'm driving and I go past this camera, it can calculate my distance between that camera and that camera, and it can say, you traveled that distance in, let's say, a certain amount of time. You are exceeding the speed limit. Yep. Here's your citation, and they send it to you in the mail.
Yep. And that's what's scary, which they can be used for good. I think the idea behind it had fundamentally wasn't wrong, but the same thing could be said about communism. But I do think that what's scarier is Flock tracks everything, and it's not just the car. It's your gait, so the way you walk. How tall you are, because it's measuring based off of multiple camera angles. It's picking up on the sun. It's doing all these calculations that happen in a fraction of a millisecond that you would never think of. So when you walk by these things, you could be in full head to toe
burqa,
and it's going to know exactly who you are based off of the science that has been proven to track, you know, who and what and ever. Same thing applies. It's going to pick up where you're at. If you're buying firearms, if you're doing this, if you're buying, heaven forbid you buy fireworks to celebrate, you know, a little bit. Now it's going to pick up on that. It can write you a ticket, and it's doing all this stuff just so they can have more of a grip. Essentially, it's a grip around your throat. It's like, we know what you're doing, so don't do it. Like, you should act safer, which again, in theory, if it's watching us, it's, you know, finding the bad should be good. But the fact that it's constantly pulling the data for the what if, that's where the line it has to be. It should have been drawn a while ago.
Yeah. So people, you need to look that up. Pay attention to what's going on in your communities nationwide as well. Hey, but like on a different note, make sure when we say tracking, like there's one other way that they're doing it. And there was a bill that was going before our Alaska legislature about that merchant category codes. And we've talked about that on the show before, where they can track your firearm purchases and everything else like that. And there's a lot of states that are like, no, banks, credit card companies, stop doing that. And that's why a lot of people are like, you know, I don't know, paying cash.
Yeah.
But eventually we're going to get to where we're, I don't know, a cashless society.
Everything's a debit card.
They already killed the penny.
Yep.
So everything's rounded up.
Lincoln was killed once. He did it again. Those bastards.
Oh, my gosh. The second assassination of Lincoln.
You know, and I want to say, too, while we're saying this, again, we've said this in the past before. We are not trying to fearmonger. We're not trying to create fear. We are trying to educate people on what is going on, because there's two sides to every coin, not the penny anymore. But you have the side that believes that everything the government and the state does is good, and you have the side that thinks everything is bad, 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 bad. We're trying to blend that and show you both sides of it, trying to be unbiased while also remaining reasonable and keeping our brain cells active. But we're not fearmongering. We just need you to be prepared and informed citizens and patriots, and you have to understand what things are going on so you can monitor how your rights are being trampled on or not being trampled on, depending on what it is.
For instance, those camera systems have found like dementia people, like people have like just been lost or even kidnapping and stuff like that, and like recovering stolen vehicles. I got it. Like if my vehicle got stolen and it drove past a particular camera, I probably would want to know as well.
Yeah.
Right. It'd have maybe law enforcement stop it then, but yeah, there's also some other sides to that.
Because, I mean, Flock says that they even, like, all their data that they collect is deleted within 30 days. If anyone knows anything.
It's going into some data center.
It's going into a hard drive somewhere. And even if they delete it, the only way to permanently get rid of it is to shut the entire internet down. Once it's out there, it's connected to some, it's there forever. Someone knows a way to find it.
It's archived.
Very easy to find. Yeah.
It's archived.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to be able to get it. Others. NSA or somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho.
On a lighter note.
On a lighter note. Let's talk about that MCC, that merchant category code, next week. Yeah. Maybe we'll come back with that and see what the status is and see if that died in committee or something.
I think that'd be very good. I think, yeah, I'd like to update that.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we'll come up with another, like, good week in firearm history. I just wanted to talk about the AK, though. I do like the AK.
AK's a great gun. I mean, it's a really fun. I just wish 7.62x39 was more available.
Mm-hmm. And RPGs, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. RPKs. RPDs. All the RPs.
All right. That's this week's show here at Shooter's Corner. Just filled you with a bunch of information. Probably got your head spinning.
Yeah. Figure it
out. Be safe this weekend. Stay warm. Wrap up. Drive with your headlights on. Yeah. It's September. Welcome. But nonetheless, thank you for joining us here at Shooter's Corner with Chuck and Matt. And we'll be back next Thursday at 11 o'clock, Alaska time. Be safe. Drive safe. Train hard. Peace out.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner.